Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And we're back with the gardening show this morning here on WWGH Radio, Monday, July the 6th, 2020, 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. It's been fun. You know, I think of this program as a learning educational experience, so this is something I don't know about. I don't know about daylilies. I don't know about flowers in general. I don't know about annuals and perennials. So any information anybody has on these flowers, please feel free to give me a call here, 740-383-9944. And I did get some pictures and messages there during the break on Facebook Messenger. So if you want to see my flower, you can go to my Facebook page and get an idea of what it is and what I should do with it. 740-383-9944. Now, I got to tell you a funny story. Got to tell you a funny story about baseball. Okay, wait a second. I just got a note here about the flower. The plant itself can be full of blooms, but they only last a day. The less mature buds will bloom to replace the fading ones. I'm not sure if that's the only thing I'm not sure about, because it doesn't look to me like that's happening, but I'll take a picture and I'll post it, because it's blooming quite well right now, and with the temperatures the way they're going to be this week, I think it'll probably be in full bloom by the middle of the week. So I'll send a picture out on Facebook and people can tell me what I'm doing with these flowers. Because here's what's going to, I know what's going to happen, because I know there's going to be a rainstorm eventually. I know there's going to be a big windstorm, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to cut these things off, and I'm going to put them in a vase, and I'm going to send them to somebody that I like and say, here, I hope this cheers up your day. And I know just who to send that to, by the way. I've already got that part all mapped out. So get ready for that. And I'll take a picture as I send them. And then that person can send me a picture of them dead the next day if that's what happens. So this is all going to work out. 740-383-9944. I have a funny story to tell you about baseball, as I said. As you know, I'm highly depressed because Major League Baseball's not in. The Clippers are not in. This is highly annoying to me because I love baseball probably more than any other sport. Now, I want to tell you a funny story. Okay. I don't know how this conversation came up, but I don't know if I've ever said this, but in high school, the sport that I played was baseball, which has been a few years ago now, but that's the one I liked, and I pitched. Okay, so as many of you know, I go out and walk or run every day. Rain, snow, sleet, whatever. I'm like the post office. I go out and I run a mile every day, especially right now with the heat. Well, back in January, I decided that I was going to add something at home to this walk because, you know, in January in Ohio, it's kind of cold, so you can add something to the run or walk. So I decided I used to do 100 sit-ups every day. So I thought, okay, I'm going to start doing the 100 sit-ups again every day as a warm-up for the run every day. Well, I started doing the sit-ups, and it occurred to me that I'm working everything on the lower half of the body, and I'm not doing anything for the upper half of the body. I'm just, you know, running and all that, you know, even though that's cardio, but it does help the legs and all that sort of thing. So that I'm not doing anything for like the arms or the forearms or the wrists or the hands or shoulders or neck or anything like that. I thought I really, you know, got to get something going for that. So obviously, instead of doing sit-ups, I thought, well, I'll do push-ups. I'll do 100 push-ups every night. So I started doing the push-ups every night. Like, I did the sit-ups for probably 2 months. So maybe like the end of February, beginning of March. I remember it was right about the COVID time. I started doing the push-ups. So just 100. I would do 100 every night, and then I would go out and I would still do the run. Well, what I started noticing was, I really started noticing it about the end of May is when I really started to notice this, was that some of the, you could see a difference in the upper half of the body, because, and I could not figure out why this was. And then I remembered, and I also talked to some people who are in fitness, that once you develop a muscle, you know, sometimes it can get lazy, but if you get back into redeveloping that muscle, it'll develop a lot faster than if it had never been developed. Well, playing baseball back in that time, there were some muscles developed. So some muscles started to develop. And you're saying, where is he going with this story? Don't worry, I'm driving toward a point here. So I'm talking about this story last night to somebody, and I'm saying, hey, you know, you would not believe how effective these push-ups have been. I mean, I'm really shocked at how effective these push-ups have been the last, 4 months now. And I talked about baseball and how I thought it was because back in those days I used to play baseball, and baseball is 9 innings, and baseball is a lot of pitching and so on and so forth, and warm-ups and practices. So I send this message last night about baseball. And then I get a message this morning that says, I'm not even going to try to read it, but this is basically what it said. It said, baseball is only 6 innings, and you can't pitch the whole game, and there are rules about that, so you don't destroy your arm. Now, this is all true, absolutely true when it comes to high school. It is only 6 innings. It is, you know, you can destroy your arm. I mean, I was on teams with people who did that. But, you know, the people who did that, I will be honest about this. And I'm not saying 6 arms can't destroy your arm. But you know what? They were constantly practicing, and they were constantly trying to throw harder. And I never thought that throwing harder was the key. They were always trying to up the fastball. And I never really understood that, to be honest with you, because I never thought that was most effective for striking somebody out. I always thought the most effective for striking people out was doing a changeup. the person is listening now. Uh-oh, I could be in trouble. The person never said 6 innings. They just said it wasn't 9. I bet they knew it was 6. I bet they knew it was 6 innings. But it is true, it's not 9 innings. I was wrong. That was my mistake. My faulty memory kicked in. Must have felt like 9 back in those days. In any event, the people who were killing their arms, I always thought was because they were doing the fastballs. They seem to be more concerned with that. And also, I will tell you this. Baseball's a weird sport in that the more you go to the gym when you're playing baseball, the bigger you get. Like, if you're trying to get football size, and a lot of kids who played football did play baseball. If you're a really, really, really big weightlifter and things like that, that's not good for baseball. If you go back and look at the really great baseball players, they're thin, they're slim. It's just a whole different thing. Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, high school, 7 innings.
Is high school... You know, why can I not remember this? Okay, so Little League is 6 and high school,
yes.
7. Okay,
yes.
Now what... It seems to me, back when I was playing, now this would have been more than a decade ago, it seems to me that we were allowed to do doubleheaders on the weekend. Like,
yes.
So it would have been 14 innings. And that you were allowed to pitch... I can't remember if you were allowed to pitch the entire game or not, but usually you didn't, because each team had at least 2 pitchers. And
yeah, you could pitch a whole game. Now it's on pitch count. It doesn't go on innings.
Oh, okay. Well, do you think back in those days, like the, I guess I'm trying to think of what year this would have been, but do you think back in those days you could have, because I remember pitching, but I always remember that the team that I was on had, we had, I think we either had two or three pitchers going at any time, and they always wanted to at least get them in at some point.
So, yeah, I mean, they could.
Right. But you wouldn't.
Yeah, that's just the way the team is and the talent you have and the manager or your coach.
Right.
But it's on pitch count, and normally the one thing is they normally ruin their arm from throwing too many curveballs because of the twisting motion they throw into it.
That's what I will say. Yeah.
It's not basically fastballs that ruin your arm because you're only going to throw so hard. It's normally curveballs and trying to throw junk.
Well, that's what, see, my ball was, I always tried to throw the changeup, where they thought, you know, something was coming in that, so I never have had any arm problems in my life, to be honest, that I'm aware of, and this has been several years later, but I was never really concerned on throwing as fast or as hard, I was just, or I really didn't have much of a curve. My bowling ball doesn't have a curve, and my baseball didn't have a curve. But I was more concerned with doing kind of a changeup, and that's really the pitch that I threw.
Yeah, the changeup's a good pitch. I mean, you know, normally you have to set that, your changeup sets up your fastball. You know, you throw your fastball a few times, then you throw your changeup to pull the batters. And I haven't pitched for a long time, but I umpired. And so, you know, watching the pitchers throw and that, normally, you know, a kid that throws a good changeup also has a pretty good fastball.
Well, do you agree with me, though, because this all conversation all started about, you know, working the arms out again. I always found that the kids who played football, who really spent a lot more time in the conditioning center and the weight room, if they were really big, they hurt themselves very easy when they were out there pitching, or if they fell, than people who were not as big. There, I always thought there was something to that.
You know, I don't know. You got your different body types and the way they work out. Weightlifting is pretty scientific now. They have it down to a pretty good science on what exercises work what body parts. You know, a lot of times just the way that the body's constructed and your fundamentals isn't right on pitching, and you injure yourself like that. But, yeah, that's kind of a hard call to make. I mean, you got guys that, you know, that look some of the major leaguers. Pitchers aren't the biggest, strongest guys on the team.
Right, right. Well, that was the thing. I always felt when I was pitching back in those days, I mean, really the only thing, I mean, I would do the conditioning, I would do the running, and that's really where I kind of got into the running. I would do the running, I would do the conditioning, I would do that. But as far as the weight room went, you know, it wasn't about lifting as much weight as you could, as some of the other guys did. It was more about lifting enough weight to get yourself, your arms in condition to throw what you needed to throw.
And that could be. We got more, if you look at the majors, I mean, this isn't high school, but if you look at the majors, we have more guys throwing in the high 90s and hitting 100 than we ever have. These guys, you know, they live in the weight room when they're younger. So you just don't know. I mean, that's a hard thing to say because never has Major League Baseball or even high school baseball had kids throw as hard as they do now. I mean, sometimes when you're behind the plate and these kids are throwing that ball in there, you're just glad that you got a good catcher there.
Well, and that's it. And, you know, it's interesting because I have noticed in Major League Baseball, because I follow that, that it seems ever since steroids became a big thing and you see these baseball players that are just huge compared with Hank Aaron and those guys weren't big at all. But these guys...
You look at the Latinos, you look at college players, and then you look at the same age guys coming up from Latin America... They're twice as big as guys in America.
But do you also...
And that's what's ruining baseball, is letting these guys come up from Latin America, and they're doing roids, and you look at the college players that are the same age, It's amazing the size difference.
Well, do you notice, it seems, because when I follow the Cubs, which is my favorite team, and I try to follow the Ohio teams, the Reds more than the Indians, but do you notice that it seems like there's a lot more injuries to these bigger guys?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. I mean, every little tweak these guys do, they pull something.
Yeah, so I always thought there has to be something, and it could be the steroids, but there has to be something to these guys being so big, because baseball is so much of a quickness, you know, and you do turn your body a lot more. It's not like football in that way. It's not about hitting somebody
right
hard.
There. I mean, the injury, and they get these weird injuries, oblique injuries. You never heard of that before. You know, they get all kinds of pec tears, and they get it's amazing. But yeah. Well, I got to get off here, but
no,
I
thanks
just want
for calling.
To know 7 innings.
Yep. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. 7 innings. So there we go. See, I was totally wrong. You know, it's weird. You get removed from something and you forget. Now, when I was reminded this morning that it wasn't 9 innings, I thought, okay, that's right. I don't think we did play 9 innings. But then I thought, I don't think we played 6 innings either. That doesn't sound right, but I'm willing to go with it at this particular point. But I don't ever remember pitching 7 innings. I really, because we always did have relief pitchers, and I think the idea was you wanted to get another pitcher in before the game was over. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, doing great. How are you?
Yeah, you brought me back to some time and some time ago. My little niece, she was playing league baseball. Yeah, this girl is only 9 years old, and pitchers just feared her. I mean, they could throw her any kind of ball that they could, and she'd park it out in the parking lot.
Well, you know what was strange about it for me being a pitcher? I can remember back when I was in high school that, you know, you did during baseball season, you know, you looked pretty good because you were constantly working your arms and you were, you know, working your forearms and your hands and that whole thing, your chest, because that's part of that whole area there. But what was so funny to me was when I started to do these push-ups again, I could not figure out why, because I thought, boy, this does not work this fast usually. You don't usually get in shape this fast. And I actually didn't notice it till I saw a picture. Somebody had taken a picture of me doing something, and I thought, you know, boy, that looks a lot better than it used to look, and it's only been 3 months. And then somebody said, oh, that's because you probably developed it back when you were pitching.
Ain't that kind of funny, though? I mean, it's just kind of crazy there that they ended up starting, when she come up, they would walk her. And then, because they just, she just figured out all the pitch counts, and she pretty much knew what was coming and where it was going to go.
Well, you know what's interesting? I remember when I used to pitch, like I said, I was always a fan of the changeup. The fastball and the... I mean, I guess my ball was fast, but it wasn't as fast as other people's. But what I would do, you know, I didn't have any nerves. It was a weird thing. I had so many pitchers who were so nervous. They would look at the other scores of the other teams and see what their hitting percentages were. I never looked at that because I thought, boy, that might make me nervous if I know how good this person is.
Yeah, you speak a good fact there. I seen some pitchers actually throw some fastballs, and they come right back up and hit them right in the face. And then,
Oh boy,
that was bad.
Well, I always thought, you know, I'm going to get up there, I'm going to do the best I can here, and my record was not bad at all. I mean, obviously I was the starting pitcher, but and I never got hurt. That's the interesting thing, because one of the comments this person sent me this morning was, they'll destroy their arm. You know, I've never had any problems with my arm, I never had any injuries to my arm. But I always thought that was because I wasn't so interested in the fastball, and I wasn't so, like I said, I was not playing football, so I was not in the weight room all the time.
Oh, there you go. It just seems like anymore, it seems like these kids were out there just, like you said, trying to perfect that fastball, thinking, you know, they'd get into the big leagues, category of throwing fastballs, and boy, that'll tear a rotator cuff right now.
Oh, it'll, and that will destroy your arm. But I think if you just can perfect a changeup, or you can perfect a good straight ball that, you know, you can throw under there. It's hard to get the depth perception right on that, but, you know, if you can get that done, if you can be more technical about baseball, you can throw a pretty good pitch.
Oh, yeah. And I'm suffering from a rotator cuff tear, boy, and that is no fun. I can only imagine what a pitcher would, you know, go through with a big tear or something like
that.
Oh,
that, you know, that was the biggest fear in baseball, was a rotator cuff or a broken arm.
Oh, boy.
Those were the ones.
And we've seen a lot of them in our day watching the National and American League pitchers. Some of them go down with, I don't recall ever hearing about a broken arm, but I've seen them come out with ice packs on them and stuff. And then,
oh, absolutely. You know, I remember back in those days, you know, and we did have some people who broke arms and tore rotator cuffs, and when they came back, they were never the same. Now, I don't know if they weren't the same because they were apprehensive, or if it was the surgery, or maybe a combination of both.
These pitchers that can go a full nine innings in the big leagues, boy, you got to give it to them. Because sooner or later, that's going to catch up to them.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man.
Hey, well, thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, Scott.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We've went from horticulture this morning to America's great pastime, baseball. 740-383-9944. Well, see, we've learned this morning it is seven innings. And I guess you can pitch all seven innings, but I don't ever remember doing that. You know what I remember? The biggest thing that made the day long was you obviously would go in early, and you would throw practice pitches. Then when you got to the field, you would do warm-ups. And then you would pitch the game. So it felt like you were doing about 15 innings by the time the game was actually over. But that's the way it went. If you wanted to play, those are the things you had to do. 740-383-9944. But the point of this conversation was not so much about that. It was about how this morning, apparently I had misquoted baseball by saying nine innings, and I had to be proven wrong by a person who loves to prove me wrong. Now, I don't know what that's about either, but the person loves to prove me wrong. Isn't that interesting? I think that's fascinating. People don't give me an inch anywhere. They try to cut me off at the knees no matter where I'm at. Okay, so that's my baseball story for today. But if anybody else wants to talk about anything like that, I think it's fascinating. 740-383-9944. Okay, let's see here. You know, Saturday when I was getting ready for the cookout, because when I'm doing this radio show, you know, to some degree, and I talked to Jeff Ruth about this, you don't really think about what you're saying because you're not planning to say what you're going to say. Some things are just off the cuff. So sometimes I don't even think about that I'm talking about having a cookout for the 4th of July on this radio show. I mean, I know I do, but it doesn't cross my mind that a lot of people are out there listening. So I went to the grocery store on Saturday, as I told you, I was getting ready for the cookout, and as I was walking through the grocery store, somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, I hope you have a great cookout." And I looked at this person and I thought, how do they know I'm having a cookout? And then they kind of looked at me because I kind of looked bewildered at them. And they said, "Oh, you know, I heard it on the radio." Isn't that funny? But, you know, I love having those conversations. So keep on coming up to me. I really enjoy those conversations. And by the way, if you were that person and you're out there listening right now, the cookout went very, very well. Oh, I also have to mention that on Friday, again, have the nicest people in the world. I had a large Diet Coke delivered here on Friday, which was great. And I also had a piece of strawberry pie and a Diet Root Beer delivered here on Friday. So I want to say thank you to those people who did that. That really made my day on Friday. And the strawberry pie was absolutely delicious. And the cool thing about that was that I had a great conversation with the person who brought the strawberry pie. And that was a lot of fun. So, the strawberry pie had melted and still was very good. So thanks for the strawberry pie, thanks for the diet root beer, and thanks for the diet soda on Friday. Great friends, as always. Okay, let's see here. Oh, by the way, now here's... Okay. This is a little bit back to the baseball thing. How I got on the baseball thing... Now here's amnesia in life. Some people just have amnesia. I'm quite sure of it. Now, last week, somebody sent me a picture on Facebook, which I said I've gotten these pictures before, and usually they're just to make you laugh, have a good time. That's pretty much what it's all about. And it was a picture of somebody with a cat on their head. Scared, I think, of the storm. No, fireworks. Scared of fireworks is what it was. So I get this picture with the cat on the head, and it's a very funny picture, and I thought, great, that's a funny, funny picture. So I said to somebody who used to send funny pictures, I said, here's a picture you could send that would be funny. And I thought they had comprehended that. Now, sending the picture is no big deal. You know, people can do what they want to do. But what was interesting about it was, so that was like last Tuesday or Wednesday, I think, and the picture never came. So last night, I was talking to that person again, and I said, you know, that picture never showed up. And they said, well, I've never seen you take a picture like that. Totally had forgotten that we'd had this conversation the week before. And like I say, at this point, who needs the picture? It was just a funny idea. But, you know, I think sometimes people's minds go out to lunch. I don't know. It's a thing. I'm not sure. Some things just strike me funny. And that particular thing struck me funny, to be honest with you. But funny pictures. You know what I'm starting to notice? More and more people are posting funny pictures. Now, a lot of the pictures that I have gotten that I think are funny... they're usually just sent like through Messenger. You know, they're not posted on people's Facebook page. But, you know, I'm starting to see more and more people post these goofy pictures, and people love goofy pictures. Hence the point, here's what happened at the cookout on Saturday. I think it was my mother. Yeah, my mother made carrot cake, and I didn't even have to ask her to make carrot cake. And I love carrot cake. Carrot cake is one of my favorite desserts, and I think my mother knows this. So my mother had brought a carrot cake to the big shindig on Saturday. And to be honest with you, she didn't even say she had done it. It was just in like a pie tin, and it had white icing. I wasn't even sure what kind of cake it was. So, I actually did not eat any of the cake for quite a while because I wasn't even sure what the cake was. She didn't say. I didn't know she was making this, even though it's one of my favorites. So, we get to a certain point in the cookout, and I realized that it was carrot cake, and I said, man, I've got to get a piece of this. I haven't had a piece of carrot cake in a long time. I love carrot cake. So, what I did was, because, you know, people wanted to see pictures from the event, and we were trying to take pictures. I took the pie tin, which already had a spatula in it because people were eating the carrot cake, and I sat it in front of me, and I said, that was the picture, which is a funny picture. Again, people taking funny pictures. Just me in front of this tin of carrot cake. And with a spatula stuck in it. And the caption that I put up with the picture was, my mom made carrot cake, one of my favorites, which I think is pretty much the whole picture. That's the whole picture. That's the whole caption to the picture. This picture has been viewed by more than any other picture from Saturday. I think it has more comments than any other picture from Saturday, which just, and all it is me sitting behind a carrot cake. That's all it is. Now, why is that so entertaining to people? I guess it's maybe the idea that I was going to eat the whole cake, which, by the way, I did not eat the whole cake. I could have eaten the whole cake, probably. I did not eat the whole cake. But why that struck somebody funny, I'm not really sure, but it struck a lot of people funny, obviously, because I had likes galore on that that picture, and also a lot of comments, funny comments. So there's something about funny pictures going on now. I think that's becoming a thing. Maybe it's people bored in the COVID age. But holy moly, I never thought that would have been a thing. Now, Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I heard that Dunkin' Donuts was supposed to open tomorrow. Is that still a thing? Is Dunkin' Donuts still supposed to open tomorrow? Because if it is, I might go through there and get a coffee. And even though I'm not a coffee drinker. Because I have never had Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And I keep hearing that there is something about Dunkin' Donuts coffee that is so different than everybody else's coffee. Now, does anybody know, is Dunkin' Donuts still opening tomorrow? Because I don't want to drive down there if they're not going to be open before I come here. And number two, what is so different about their coffee? I am not a coffee connoisseur, so I would not be a good person to answer this. Does anybody know the differences? Or if they're opening tomorrow? 740-383-9944, 740-383-9944, 45 minutes past the hour. What is it about Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and is the opening still happening tomorrow? I have not heard anything. It could be happening, but as far as I know, I have not seen a sign or anything. Now, maybe there's a sign up today. I haven't passed it. But is Dunkin' Donuts opening tomorrow, and what is the difference with their coffee that makes it so different? 740-383-9944. Don't forget, Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp comes on after this show today, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Voice of the People with Linda Sims from 4:10 to 5 p.m. and the Mike Wilson Show today, 5:10 to 6 p.m. Don't miss any of those shows right here on your station, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Now, here's something else. People got to hear this on Friday. Now, I'm not going to say any names, and I'm not going to say exactly what happened. But I had a little disagreement on the radio on Friday. Or was it Friday night? It was Friday. Sometime Friday. I think it was maybe it was during the day. I had a little disagreement with somebody on the radio on Friday. Now, honest to goodness, all we really know is that I was right at this particular point. Now, here's what I feel bad. I feel bad that that had to transpire on the airwaves because even though I thought it would be good on the airwaves, I don't know, it might have bothered people. You know, because people don't want to hear an argument. You know, if you want to hear an argument, you turn on one of the news channels. So I felt bad that this had transpired on the air on Friday, although I think it was entertaining. But I just want to say, for the record, now that we're here on Monday, that I was right in that argument, and the other person was completely wrong. Now, I hate to have to say that. I hate to have to bring, and I'm not even going to bring up the name. I'm just going to say I was completely right, and the other person was completely wrong. Now, I think that's fair. I think they tried to have a valid point, but I think their valid point fell through. Now, here's something else. That's all I want to say about that. But here's something else for those of you who heard that on Friday. Here's what I want to say. There's something going on this week that I think is supposed to be a secret, because it's being handled very cryptically. And I'm not really sure why, but I'm almost positive that something's going to happen this week, and I think I know what it is. But for some reason, and I'm not sure why it's being handled so cryptically, but because I haven't talked to the people about it, but here's what I don't understand. Why do you say something cryptic without saying exactly what's going to happen? If you've already kind of encrypted it to us, we kind of got the idea what's going to happen. And you know, for good or bad, great. You know, have a great thing, have a great time, so on and so forth. But I'm just not sure why people are so cryptic about stuff like that. Why don't people just come out and say, the only time I hold a secret is if it's something that I'm doing because I'm not totally sure that I have all the facts on it yet. But I'm telling you, clearly this thing that I'm talking about is an absolute, I think it's supposed, it must be a secret, or else I think the people would just come out and say it. But it's being handled cryptically. Now, I don't know if that's to try to keep people away, or it's bizarre, because if you tell somebody kind of in a halfway, you've already told them. They already get what's going on. So why not just say it outright? Is there fear involved? Is there anxiety? I don't know. And I'm not saying that I know. But do you understand why people do this? Why people are cryptic about certain things? They're very, you know, kind of wishy-washy. And then all of a sudden it will happen, and then they'll, you know, I'm sure there'll be mention of it then. But why so cryptic leading up to it? I don't understand. Anybody know? 740-383-9944. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because, you know, I don't want to invade somebody's privacy. But I just, I don't understand that. And when I read that, I thought, you know, I don't get this thing because clearly I think we all get what this is. But yet, why not just say it? It's not like it's some big, deep, dark secret. So if anybody understands that, let me know. Because I certainly would love to know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Just go ahead and fill me in on the cryptic nature of things that go on with people. I would love to know, because it surprises me in a lot of ways that people act that way, because usually the people who I'm talking about are pretty outfront people. So we'll see what happens. Maybe it's happening right now. I don't know. Hard to say. But I do think it's cryptic. I think it's a cryptic thing. And I don't know why things are handled cryptic. So there you go. I hate to rant about that, but I just thought it was so incredibly strange. Just very, very odd. And then I do want to reiterate the point that last week's little argument, sorry that had to happen, but clearly I was right. So there's that. Cryptic conversations and arguments had on the radio. But you know what? The argument that was had on the radio actually ended up being okay, because people who were listening called in on Friday night and basically told me I was right. So, you know, you can't go wrong there. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, 740-383-9944. Down to the final 8 minutes this morning, 52 minutes past the hour. We're having a great time. Would love to hear from you. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. We've had a great number of calls this morning discussing very interesting things, from things in the flower world, horticulture world, to baseball, which is one of my favorite subjects. It's been a great, great morning here on WWGH Radio. Now, also, I do want to say, and I think this is important to say as well, you know, 4th of July is an interesting time, as are all holidays in a way. Because what seems to happen is it's a chance for people to get away from their normal life. You know, if you've got a lot of problems in your life, it seems like it's a getaway. Like, even if you're having problems at work, people don't usually work on the 4th of July. So it gives people a chance to get away from their life, and they can leave all their troubles behind for a few days and think, boy, this is the greatest thing ever, and everything's perfect, and my life is great, and things are fantastic. And then reality comes back, because we all have to come back to life at some point. I notice this a lot when people are on vacation. They go on vacation, and vacation's great, and it's the greatest time in the world, and they're back 48 hours, and they're right back to where they were before, and nothing has changed, and everything that seems so great is not so great anymore. And that's too bad, because I do think people need an escape, and I'm all for that. I'm all for days of escape. But it just seems unfortunate to me that that people have to come back to unfortunate times where things are not so great. So I guess my advice to this at this point is you know, there you can change any bad situation. You really can. It's never too late to change. And I think that one of the things that we get loopholed into in life a lot is we think we cannot change it. This is just the way it's going to be. There's no fixing it. There's no way to get past it. You know, I try to get away from it, and when I come back to it, it's still there. It's always a problem. It's always going to be a problem, and I'm never going to get out from under it. That's just not true. There is no problem in life that cannot be either dealt with or taken care of. You just have to know how to do it. That's all it is. So if you're coming back to the regular old Monday blues today and you had a great weekend and everything was hunky-dory, or maybe you had a miserable weekend and you're coming back today and everything is not as hunky-dory as you hoped it would be, you know, who knows what the week will bring? Because my philosophy always is that you don't know about tomorrow yet. Tomorrow is always a gift. Because, today is always a gift. You don't know what's going to happen the rest of the day today. Now, it is true something bad could happen, but it's also equally as true that something good could happen. And that goes the same for tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You never know when something good is going to happen. And when you get in that mindset that good things can happen, then good things will happen. But you can't be uptight waiting for that to happen. Because when you get nervous, when you get uptight, when you get unhappy, it's hard to let the good in. Have you ever noticed that? People who are really, really unhappy, even when good things happen to them, they don't seem to enjoy them as much as they should. And they should enjoy them. Because good things are good things. That's how we know the difference between good and bad things. Some things are good, some things are bad. But, so if you're having the blues today in that particular arena, it'll pass. This too shall pass. That's my new saying on everything. This too shall pass. Did anybody notice all the fireworks over the weekend? Wow. When I went out to watch the fireworks on Saturday night, here was something kind of funny to me. I didn't know which fireworks I was watching. There were like four sets of fireworks going off close to my neighborhood, and they were happening far enough away, I wasn't sure which were the real fireworks and which were the fire. It was so strange. Did you notice that there were a lot of fireworks going off on Saturday night in a lot of different places? Like big fireworks, big, heavy-duty fireworks. Did you have this going on in your neighborhood as well? 740-383-9944. I'll tell you, it went on in my neighborhood. There's no doubt about that. There were fireworks going off everywhere. There were some, it looked like they were coming from the south. And then there were some that looked like they were coming from the north. And then there were some that looked like they were coming from the east. And I really had trouble distinguishing which were the really big fireworks from the big fireworks show that was going on at the Coliseum. And which were the fireworks that were probably just being set off by people who shouldn't be setting off fireworks. It was really bizarre. And the number of, bottle rockets and pops and sparklers and, oh, geez, just there was such an enormous amount of fireworks out this past weekend. I could not believe it. And it went well into the night Saturday night, and people were very unhappy. Boy, I tell you, that's one thing Facebook has done. You want to see people unhappy, turn on Facebook And you'll see how unhappy they are about the fireworks. Boy, I wish I knew if Dunkin' Donuts opened up tomorrow. Here we are with a minute and a half to go. Does anybody know if Dunkin' Donuts is going to open up tomorrow? 58 and a half minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I certainly would enjoy hearing from you today. But just remember, even though the weekend's over, even though the maybe fun we had over the 4th is over, there will be more good times to come, and you can always hope for the best, change your situation, and see what happens as time goes on. It's always a good thing. This has been fun. Again, don't forget to tune out. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lipp this morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Voice of the People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m. Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 to 6 p.m. And I'll be back here tomorrow morning from 8:10 until 10 p.m. And we are going to have major fun again tomorrow. Maybe I'll get a picture of these daylilies tonight. Maybe I will figure out something in regard to baseball. And we'll do all this and figure it all out as time goes on. For this particular day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Stay tuned. More programming right around the corner, and I'll be back with you tomorrow morning. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary comedian Pat Cooper,
listen to me. But if your friends want to buy that book, and I ain't making a dime on it, I tell you that. I don't give a damn about the money. Let them go to Amazon. It's a cheaper, and it's a great book because it's honest, and you're going to do a lot of laughing. And the only reason I wrote the book, because people who have no life are writing books, and they're boring. If you don't like my book, you'll say one thing. Boy, does he have a good book.
Thank
and
you.
I love you, and I thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Pat. Bye-bye.
First Lady of Comedy, Phyllis Diller.
Well, now, Phyllis, I saw you on Biography doing a ghost story. Do you believe in ghosts?
Well, for the money they gave me, rarely.